ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, one of the famous verse, text number 13. We'll word to word, we'll repeat and then we'll read the Sanskrit shloka. Dehino asmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha deha praptihi diraha tatra na muhyati dehino asmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuhyati dehinaha of the embodied asmin in this yata as dehe in the body kaumaram boyhood yavanam youth jara old age Tatha, similarly, deha antara of transference of the body, praptihi, achievement, diraha, the sober, satra, bear upon, na, never, mukhyati, is deluded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Purport. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause of lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the super soul and nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or a most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the supreme clevable or changeable against the principle of the supreme souls being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the supreme exist eternally, sanatana, and are called shara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge, with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the Supersoul, who is present in each and every individual body and is known as the Paramatma. He is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then the relationship of instructor and the instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy, Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other the instructor. Such instruction would be useless because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor under the circumstances. It is admitted that Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity Arjuna, who is a forgetful soul deluded by Maya. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Ve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katha Mahiyam Tadati Swapadantikam Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Dishadarine Vanchakalpatarupyasya Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankam Langiyate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarina Jayatam Surato Pangur Mama Mandamatirgati Mat Sarvasva Patam Bhoja Radha Madana Mogana Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Dehino Asmin Yata Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara Tata Dehantra Prabhu Prapti Dhirastatrana Muhyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. This second chapter, 13th verse, is a very important verse. As any other verses are important in Bhagavad Gita, this particular verse is important because this verse actually is the first step towards our spiritual acceptance. Unless a person understands this verse, at least theoretically, then of course comes practically, we cannot go further. That's the reason, if you see Srila Prabhupada's classes, if you check on the ISKCON Desire, this is the verse which was spoken by Srila Prabhupada most of the time. His Holiness Prahladananda Swami was mentioning this long time back when I heard this. He said, those days, in the early 60s, they did not have this much facility of, you know, making phone calls or recording the... well, they were recording, but they could not hear the classes. They didn't have their individual mics or speakers. So they should somehow collect some coin money and they will put call to the center where Prabhupada has been. And they will ask, what did Prabhupada speak today? And they will say, Prabhupada said that we are not the bodies, we are spirit souls. Oh, great, oh yeah. Then Prabhupada goes to Los Angeles and they call again, Prabhupada Maharaj calls and asks, what did Prabhupada speak today? Well, they say today that we are not the body, we are spirit souls. Fine, then he went to New York. Then they found money, they got some coins, they called. Okay, what did Prabhupada say today? Well, Prabhupada said today that we are not the body, we are spirit soul. Maharaj said, I put so much money, I'm collecting. So again, I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul. Why am I hearing again and again? Then one fine day, it clicked to Maharaj, yes, I'm not the body. I'm spirit soul. Yes, this is the essence. Because This is the platform. Although we hear it many times, the whole problem of today's atheism is based on this. The platform of spirituality begins when we understand this primary fact that I am not the body, I am spirit soul. The whole world is bewildered because of this. Great scientists are bewildered because of this. Recently, one of the greatest scientists left the world. What was his name?
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. I wrote an article in Dandabhat on this, about this leaving the body. He was a great scientist, of course, we should accept that. He had done a lot of research on the cosmos, on the black holes and etc. etc. But he was a staunch atheist. In his book, A Brief History of Time, his this great seller, which was doing a good selling in the world, in this he has mentioned that you must just understand how this world is going towards atheism. He says in his book that the brain is considered as computer, and he feels that the whole existence of the body depends on this brain, and he says the other parts are the components. So naturally, when the components of the computer fails, the computer breaks down. So the body, when the brain's dead, the body is dead. There is nothing called life after death or hell or heaven. This is all a fairy tale which is created by people who are fear of darkness or death. This is what his statement was about life after life. So this is very important to understand, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yajjad acharyati shreshtas tadat evatno janaha. People sometimes ask this question, what is the problem? Okay, it is this personal perception. Everybody has the personal, but this is the normal understanding in the material world nowadays, polished understanding. Do not disturb others. Okay, you have faith, fine. You are eating non-veg, fine. You are eating vegetarian food, fine. I am eating non-vegetarian food. Yeah, I am not disturbing you, don't disturb me. It's a very polished kind of a dealing. So, people ask, what is the problem? He had his notion, he had so much, what is the problem? But no, not at all. He is yata, tadda acharyati shreshtas. He is an acharya, a so-called person in the material science. And whatever he speaks, whatever he writes, the others would follow, would listen. Because of his book would have cost another 10 times at least more. Because when people are not knowledgeable, not understanding the level of spiritualism, when the people have doubts, whether God exists or not God exists, the most of the people are theists. Although they may be theists, but they don't have strong faith. Because Shraddha is the beginning of our spiritual existence. Prabhupada writes that at least theoretically, in the beginning he writes, at least theoretically accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord before starting this. So, when people are not very convinced in this, when they read like these people, they are actually, all these scientists, they are considered as God. Because people see, they are facts, they are scientists, they have so many degrees, they have so many research, and these people are saying that there is no God, then it shatters the faith. That's why Acharyati Shishtas, this Tattatvatarajana, we should be careful. So these people should not be allowed to talk. That's why Srila Prabhupada always wanted, he inspired Bhakti Swarup Maharaj, Ravindra Swarup, Bhakti Swarup Maharaj, Ravindra Swarup Maharaj, to work on the science and to destroy these faithless scientists. So when we understand, now why is Krishna speaking these particular words here? Because in the situation where Arjuna is completely disturbed, he wants to, he doesn't want to kill his father, grandfather, his uncle, and he's disturbed and he's completely unable to fight. And Krishna starts speaking in Bhagavad Gita from 2.1. Then he goes on, and in this particular verse he starts the spiritual instruction. And if you take care, just look at throughout Bhagavad Gita, this is the basic essence of understanding. If I understand, I am not this body, I am spirit soul,
And I awaken this knowledge, and
that is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. It's simple.
We should understand that the soul, what is the, now Krishna says, Prabhupada explains here, a dhira. Who is the dhira? A sober man. Who is a sober man? Who doesn't get angry? Who is very calm? You know, get mentally, who doesn't, you know, agitate others? Yes. But according to spiritual science, according to Srila Prabhupada, sober man is a person who understands Jiva, Paramatma, Ishvara, and Prakriti. And his interactions. He is a sober man. How? Let us understand. Actually, first of all, you should understand, the first question I want to ask you is, how do you realize truth? How do you realize truth? But how do you realize the absolute truth? How do you perceive truth? First of all, what is truth? Who can tell me? What is truth?
Touched up from the Shastra.
Yes. Can truth be two?
What?
Can truth be two? I mean, it cannot be true. It is one, right? It cannot be maybe this, maybe that. Which the scientific theories say. Indeed, maybe this, maybe that. That's why they are not based on the truth. The truth means that we experience it. How do we experience it? That's what Bhagavad Gita speaks on the five topics. Starts with Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, Prakriti, Karma. These five are the perceivements of truth. Through these five factors, we understand the truth, then we can understand Krishna. And this point, this verse, expresses understanding truth through for the jiva. How the jiva can perceive the truth is expressed in this verse. As jiva, we are all sanatana, we are all eternal. And Krishna says in 15th chapter, Mahayamsa jiva loka jiva sanatana. We are all part of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord created, if you see the cosmos, the material creation, the material energy, it is lifeless. Its matter is lifeless and the creation is lifeless. That's why the inferior energy was impregnated by the Lord by a superior energy, the jiva. Therefore, the world, the creation became meaningful. Now, when the jiva, who is Sachidananda, who is equal in quality with the Lord, comes in touch with this Antaranga Shakti, this Prakriti, the Maya, it becomes false immediately into ignorance. Spiritual science is a science. You should accept that it's not mythology. This only Srila Prabhupada bought it in such a scientific way that everybody could practice it and understand how it works. Otherwise, you know, my father is doing it, I am doing it, my grandfather is doing it, I am doing it. Then when the scientist of such caliber comes and says that there is no God, then we say, yes, there is no God, where is the proof? So, when the jiva falls down into this material world, the mode of ignorance, when a child is born, he's mostly born the proper mode of ignorance. That's why we say, tamam soma jyotirgamaya. The soul is always in the tamaguna when it comes to life. So, through the practice of God consciousness, God Krishna consciousness, we come to the jyoti, to the light, to understand that we are not the bodies, we are spirit souls. At least, Prabhupada said, theoretically, if we understand, I am not this body, I am spirit soul, we can start actually on the platform to propel our spiritual consciousness. It is very simple to understand. Prabhupada writes it here in many classes, he mentions this in his classes. Any fool, any uneducated person can understand that I am not this. It's a simple experiment, simple understanding. Yeah, Krishna has explained that dekhino asmin yatha dekhin kaumaram yavanam jara. Now, you are here. This Prabhuji is here. Now, he is in this age. Now, if I ask him to give his photo when he was 5 years old, was he 5 years old or not? Yes. Will any scientist refute that he was not 5 years old? Nobody will refute, right? 100%, 5 years old. And if you can take that photo, and I will take this photo when he was 20 years old, when he was 30 years old, and when he is now, do all the photos look similar?
No.
No, they're completely different. You will show me and say, this is not you, this is a different human, this is a different person. But you simply say, this is me. Wow, because you know, you feel. Now, I have changed. I have come through various karma, you know, we are going through this, and I don't feel much change in my body. You know, I'm feeling just empty, I'm getting disease, I'm getting, oh, I'm sick, my body's changing. But inside me, I don't feel I'm changed. I just notice that I've become Kama now in the Yavana. We don't feel, right? We feel the same person I am. So only the body is changing, you can see. And not only that, in our body there are billions of cells, billions of neurons, and other muscles, tendons, all these things are changing every second, every minute, they keep changing. And when we take some food inside our body, we do not understand what the changes are going on. The immediately, carbohydrates begins to digest as soon as I keep eating my tongue. The enzymes begin to work from the saliva. Many things happening in our body which we are not of, which we are not conscious of. Our own body we are not conscious of. So, we see there are the same person, I am in different stages. And then my body is changing from childhood, from baby, then to a child, then to a youth, then to manhood, then slowly to that old age, jara. Then finally, when the body is unfit, the soul cannot stay in the body, the Paramatma asks him, how let us live? The Paramatma quits, then the body automatically. Why is it so that the scientists feel that all these changes have happened? Now, at the old age, the body leaves and the soul disappears. It is in the dark void. Is it difficult to understand? The body has been changing throughout the life. The soul has been active throughout the phases. And when it comes to the phase of death, the body becomes old, the soul becomes void. Or it becomes non-existent. This is not a sanguine understanding. Right? Am I right? Yes, it's not sanguine. So, this is a simple thing. So, Prabhupada explains that if he's a mad person, it's a different thing. But any simply who has any little knowledge, intelligence can understand that he's been changing the body. And he'll change after this to take another body. Then again the cycle starts. Now, the same applies when they say there's no birth after death. If I ask you, there's simple experiments, I mean just you have to open, this is why I call Omagyana Kimilandasya. This why we will speak after this, why people cannot understand this, why scientists cannot understand this. If I ask you, how old are you? What's your name?
Bhaskar.
How old are you?
26.
Can you tell me, today what is the day? Today is 18th March, 17th March, right? 17th March. Can you tell me, were you existing on 15th March?
Yes.
100%? Yes, now it's 5-6 o'clock. On 15th March, 6 o'clock, what were you doing?
At 5 o'clock.
6 o'clock on 15th March. You are here, not sure. Took some time.
I'm sure.
Please tell.
I'm like in a dream now.
Tell me, 2012, March 17, what were you doing?
No clue.
No clue. But I sure you were there.
I was existing, yes.
You, 100%.
Yes.
Any doubt?
No.
What about when you were 15 years old, March 16, what were you doing? But if you don't have a clue, science says that you don't exist. You existed, right? 100%. Nobody. Can anybody deny your existence?
No.
100%. So what about when you were 3 years old? You remember anything? 1 year, you remember anything? Nothing. Clueless completely. What? It is sure you were there when you were 1 year old?
Yeah.
What about when you were 6 months old? What about when you were 1 month old? You were existing? What about when you were in the womb of the mother? No, you'll go back. It is true. Up to that point it's true. But these so-called nonsensical scientists, they'll deny that you didn't exist before and you don't exist after. You know, this is called the ostrich consciousness. The ostrich, when it's being chased, what does it do? In the hole. And he thinks that nobody will see me. Right? This is what the scientists do. They will not. They think that okay, I'll do whatever I want. Nobody will care for it. I mean, I'm saying this is Vedavakya. So this is Prabhupada says because Maya Bahirta Gyan. So these people Simply, they will not understand, because Prabhupada once asked this question. Somebody asked this question to Prabhupada, that why do these so-called scientists, educators, learned intellectuals are not taking to Krishna consciousness so easily? So they said, Prabhupada simply answered but one question. What do you think Prabhupada answered? Why could they not take to Krishna consciousness? Is that they are not sincere. The only one thing Prabhupada answered is, they are not sincere. You understand? We need only sincerity, not qualifications, to simply understand that I am not this body and spirit. So that's why unless we get them, see, we may have so much of qualifications, we may have so much of everything. I may be born in a family, that is also my previous good karma. But unless until I get the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the Lord means mercy of His presentation, this knowledge will not be worth. Because I told you, we are being born in tama. Unless until someone shows us light, that light can be shown only by Guru. Then our eyes can be opened. Otherwise, they will be eternally in darkness. That's why we should be always thankful to Guru. That's why he said, Brahmanda Brahma Ponite Bhakyavar Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lakavicha. Because the Brahmanda, there are millions of souls wandering in various species of life. But those who are Bhagyavan, who is the Bhagyavan? See, everybody is a Bhagyavan. Because we are all spirit souls. We are all part of Krishna. Then we are all Bhagyavan. But those who are recipients of the mercy is those who give an oral reception to the message. How come you are all here? How come all of you have come to Krishna consciousness? No, he's a young boy, he has come here. There are many people are here in the material world. Billions of people are here and there. How come you came here? Because you gave somewhere, some devotee, when he gave you a book, when he spoke to you, you heard him. Right? That is the point, that is small, you know. This is the mercy actually of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sees a small light, you know. In our heart it is completely dark. It's difficult to come. But Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees whether there is some hope. It's actually even more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's Nityananda Prabhu, who sees whether there is some space for this soul that I can give him. So when he came to this material world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and actually they broke this lava, storehouse of love of God, and, you know, and they distributed it freely. So they were looking for the souls wherever there is some hope, some faith. That's why Shraddha is important. Some faith, then that through that faith, the mercy will come inside. But these scientists, because they are puffed up, their pride is too much, there is no hope for them. It's complete. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not give. Prabhupada has not given their mercy. It's there. It's always available. It's up to us how to take it, how to reciprocate with it. So, now when we're speaking that I'm not this body and spirit soul, sometimes we understand that, okay, yes, spirit soul, we are spirit souls, but the body can be ignored. Definitely not that. If you see the letters, many letters Prabhupada has written to his disciples, there are discussions between Prabhupada stress that always, and we also understand practically that the body has to be taken care of. Because this is the vehicle in which we can sit. Just like a motor car. We have a motor car and I'm in the motor car and we travel in the car and we use the car to go to various places. And what do we do if I don't take care of the car? I do not put enough benzene, I don't do my enough service, I cannot utilize that. But at the same time, there is again an analogy given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the cage and the parrot. We keep the cage for the parrot or the parrot for the cage? What do you think? Which is logical? We keep parrot, the cage for the parrot, or parrot for the cage?
Yes.
Why do you have? It's a logic. We keep the cage for the parrot, right? If the parrot is not there, there's no use of the cage. So if we keep the parrot inside the cage and we take care of the cage. So go nice cage, we polish it, we take care, you know, we brush it, we clean it. Very nice. But we forgot to feed the parrot. At the end of the day, what happens? The parrot dies. And that is what we call, in medical term, operation success, but the patient died. You know? What does it mean? We do, our spiritual practice is such that we do everything, you know, we chant, we are still doing, it's nice. It's like the operation, you know, spiritual. It's success. But unless there is self-realization, unless we really connect ourselves in the progress, the patient died. That means the process is not successful. So this is very important that although we understand that we are not the body, we are spirit soul, we have to take care of the body as well as utilized in Krishna consciousness. Then the body will be spiritual. Rupa Goswami gives the example of the iron rod in fire. If you put the iron rod in fire, the iron rod becomes fire. It is no more an iron rod. You touch the iron rod on anyone, it exactly acts like a fire rod. As fire. So, this spiritual body, if you see, that's why acharyas, when they leave the body, we do not burn them, we bury them. Because their bodies are not different from spiritual. They can emanate all spiritual values or spiritual effulgence from the same bodies. In this connection, there's a nice story in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 9th canto, of King Nimi. King Nimi was a very, very, very pious king. He was a Raja Rishi. Rama comes also, before that he comes at the same time as the Surya Vamsa. And his father was Ikshvaku. Who was Ikshvaku's father? Shuddhadev. Manu. Who was Manu's father? No. Surya. Vivasvan. Right? Have you heard this from connection somewhere?
The Bhagavad is the parampara.
Parampara. Yeah? Krishna says in the 4th chapter, right? First verse. Krishna, I spoke this knowledge to the son of God, Vibhasa, spoke to Manu, that is Shradadev, and he spoke to Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku's son was King Nimi. And King Nimi was a very pious king, very Rajarishi. So one day, he wanted to do a grand yagya, very opulent yagya. He started the yagya and he wanted a main priest who could, you know, conduct this yagya. So he called his guru Vasishtha Rishi to come and take over the yagya. But Vasishtha Rishi told, yes, I mean, I'm most welcome, I'm happy to do this, but I have already agreed to Indra that I have do a yagya to him. So please hold on, when I come back, I will do your yagya. But Nimi was such a self-reliant person. He was thinking, even one moment wasting. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I mean, anything can happen. Why should I stop this yagya? I should do it. So he called some other brahmanas and conducted the yagya. The yagya was going on. Then Indradev came down and Indradev saw that he has already started the yagya without his presence. Whereas he has told him to wait. So, you know, they get angry. So Vasishtha, they cursed King Nimi that may your body fall down immediately. He cursed him to die. So, Nimi also understood that it is not his fault. So he counter-cursed, may your body shall also fall down. He can't counter-curse him. So immediately, Vasishtha, they fell dead and Nimi also died. And Vasishtha, of course, then took birth. It's a different story, a different way he came back. But Nimi died and the sages, yagya is going on. So what they did, they preserved in chemicals, I mean it's in herbs, liquid herbs, they preserved his body. This is science, you know, the science was well developed those days. Now we can't do that. All we can do it is embalm, we can, you know, remove all the parts of the body and keep. That's all we do it now. Because we don't have those bombs. Those days they had the science. So they were keeping his body. And after the yagya was over, all the demigods had been present in this yagya. And they requested the demigods, now kindly give life to our king. Because now there is no king, he should come back and start. Then the demigods were ready, but Nimi said no. He said, no, I am not going to come back into this material body, in this material world. Please don't call me back. At the same time, he started to glorify. He said, yes, the body in this material world is useless. But although it is useless, if it is a devotee, it is meaningful. Even though in his present body, it is spiritual. So they can transgress any kind of obstacles and live in this material world with the same spiritual understanding or spiritual atmosphere. But for me, I am not, he feels he's not qualified, I do not want this material body. Again, I have to undergo the changes. So let me not be in this material. So the demigod says, Tathastra, fine, you do not want to be here, let him go back and be an associate of the Supreme Lord. So why? He left the spiritual world. Now what did the sages do? They churned his body. They churned his body. From his body, churned body, who came out? King Janaka. This King Janaka is not the same king of father of Sita Mata, but yes, father of Sita came after 4 or 5 generations in the same dynasty. So he was also called Janaka. So from there, we can understand, although the body, these kings, they do not want it. And it is, just put yourself there. If somebody says, I'll give you back life to a millionaire or billionaire or human child, you're ready to pay any amount of money to revive our body. Right? Although it may be useless, I may not be useful for this material world. So this was the consciousness of these people at the time. And because of this consciousness, please understand, because let us little bit of focus, understand, the material world is getting into so much cruelty because of the understanding of that I am this body. The first two, the topmost are the two things, the cruelty is going on in this material world. One is animal slaughter, and the second thing is abortion. The main reason for abortions, which in medically they keep it a very nice term, MTPs, they call it medical termination of pregnancies, so that it sounds nice, medical termination. The main understanding that they do these abortions, every day, if you calculate these calculations, millions and millions of bodies are being terminated, killed, I mean it's actually murder, because of the understanding that there is no existence of the body or the soul inside the womb. In the hospital, before I was working, we actually cancelled these MTPs. You know, we were not allowing the doctors to do medical termination of pregnancies, and I was very sick, we did not allow them. So one gynecologist came to me. She was a renowned gynecologist in Bangalore. She came to me and said, Doctor, do you understand? How much money will bring to your hospital if you do this? This is going to be the, you know, you are losing a big chunk of money by not doing this. First of all, I felt so miserable, angry, but of course I cannot scream at her. Then I tried to explain to her, and I told, even it will bring 1 to 2 or 3 crores for me in a month, I am not going to do this. And it was mentioned very clearly in the appointment orders, no MTPs allowed strictly this school. And even if they were done due to some pathological reasons, I used to check, and you know, we had to stop that and question the doctor why they did it. Because we have this understanding, some spiritual understanding, which will propose mercy, we could execute it. Otherwise in the world, nobody understands this. The main reason for this is, basic is this, that Srila Prabhupada says, the beginning of spiritual understanding begins from understanding I am not this body, I am spirit soul. If I don't understand this basic concept, comes into practice, how do I practice that I am not a spirit soul? That is second thing. At least mentally if you understand, okay, I am not this body, I am a spirit soul, then I will understand, at least I will question, what is spirit soul? What is my relation with the Lord? What is my execution? This is very important to understand and practice in the beginning. So as a soul, we understand when we are, where our destination is. For example, if I am traveling in a plane, and I sit in a plane and someone asks, where are you going? I say, I do not know where I am going. I just saw a plane, I sat in it. I took a ticket. How does it look like? Or somebody comes to you, you know, and you're driving and he stops and asks you for a ride and he sits in you with you and asks, sir, where are you going? I do not know, I'm just driving. Huh? It doesn't look sanguine. Right? Same thing, as a spirit soul, when we enter this material world, we should understand what is our journey, what is the purpose of our journey. Atato Brahma Jijnasa. That's why the first aphorisms of the scriptures, Vedanta Sutras, Atato Brahma Jijnasa. Inquire into the Absolute. Inquire into who am I? Why have I come? Why is the purpose of this world? Why am I here? So, this all can be understood when we come to the knowledge of Jnana. For this, again, as I told you, we should have the mercy of Guru and Krishna. As we all merciful, I mean, mercifully here because of the mercy of the spiritual master and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna. The same mercy will flow when we give, share this mercy to others. That's why Krishna says, those whoever gives this knowledge to others, shares this knowledge with others, is very dear to me. I consider them equal to me. So when we understand this knowledge, at least we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls. We should at least to some level need to share it with others. Because most of the people in the world who are doing sinful activities, illicit activities, the mode of tamakuna, are doing not because they want to do it, because they are suffering. Just like the dharma of the salt is to be salty, sugar candy to be sweet, dharma of the soul is to be ananda, to be happy. Right? That's the reason we wanted to enjoy, because the soul wants to enjoy eternally. Ananta ananda, it wants to be eternally happy. But when it's locked into these bodies, one of these 6,400,000 species of bodies, it is restricted towards this happiness. Therefore, we try to exploit the nature and try to see whether I can enjoy through this way, enjoy through this way, enjoy through that way, various ways. But we are unable to understand, unable to perceive the real ananda, because we are locked in this restricted capsule where we cannot expand our happiness. So, my dear devotees, the thing is that we should take the mercy of the Lord through various ways, through by reading, by chanting, by associating with devotees, by hearing Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. It's very important that we read Srila Prabhupada's books. Important is Prabhupada's books we should read daily. There may be many books by many authors, that's fine, you can read them also. But it is very important for us to connect to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya, and his mercy is flowing all the time through his books, and he leaves the books forever. So we should always try to read, especially Srimad Bhagavatam in the mornings, or any other Prabhupada's books in the mornings, we must keep it as a duty, so that we keep in connection with Srila Prabhupada, so that we can come into the, although we have been practicing Krishna consciousness for a while, but still this tamaguna is always within us, within our bodies, because we are born in that, and this material nature is such, this prakriti, it's made in this mode of nature. So to come out of it, propel out of it, we need a good fuel engine. That is what Srila Prabhupada's books can do for us. It can propel us fast outside. Otherwise, a very dangerous place to be in, because this Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj said, it's not a sane place, it's not a place for a sane gentleman. So this is the secret. So Krishna says, as embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So the sober person, the dhira, who understands Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, according to Srila Prabhupada, is a sober person. So we should understand how the material world, nature works, Prakriti works, how the Jiva is connected, how Paramatma is connected. As I told you, how we can realize truth. So this is Jiva. How the Jiva can realize truth is through this verse, which we have understood today. So practically, we may take time to understand, to comprehend, to perceive that I am not this body. But theoretically, if we start accepting and understanding, then the best thing that can happen is no scientist can disturb us. No one could say that no Stephen Hawking, no scientist can tell that you are the body, and there is no hell, there is no heaven, there is no rebirth, he cannot shake you. Otherwise, we will be shaken and we will forget our eternal constitutional position as jivas. I think I'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Please use the microphone. Because Parvati Mataji has specially told that everybody should use the microphone. Thank you.
very serious and is about to die,
yeah,
and still we give him the treatment and we see that how he should be alive. So why I'm doing this, medical people, they understand now, giving him medicines and giving ventilators and this one, keeping his body alive for maybe 10 days, 15 days or maybe 1 month or 2 months, and ultimately he has to leave the body. Then why this medical treatment is necessary for him?
First thing is, it is important because hospital should survive. So they have to keep, they are keeping the body even after death, you know that? They keep the body for 2 days on ventilator when the body is already, you know, passed. So this is a completely commercial thing. The hospitals are becoming, it's not a safe place. In India, you have to fear to go to, it's actually very sad. People are fear to go to hospitals because of, you know. So, this is Kali Yuga, you see the symptoms. Yes, they keep it. One thing is that, yes, see, it is the duty of a doctor to try to the end of the, until he leaves the body, he has to try to keep him alive. So this is his dharma. So he does that. And we try that way because even if I am a devotee, if you go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai, it's a devotee hospital, but they will not move the ventilator just because they didn't go back to Krishna. They will not do that. They will keep until the last moment, will try so that, you know, you survive. So that is our duty to do that. And then whatever happens, yes, we do a different procedure in spiritual hospitals and mental hospitals, they do different procedures. Yes, we try because the body is useful, we can be here, we can maintain to Krishna consciousness, develop this consciousness.
Oh, another question. You were speaking about sannyasis, we should bury the sannyasi, we should burn them. So because that this body is made of 5 elements, so these 5 elements, when you burn it, merge into that 5 elements.
Yes.
So if you are burning also, is the same also, is merging also in the 5 elements. So what is the difference? Can you say some difference of the sannyasis and devotees?
It is not a gross, it's subtle. Because when the, because if you see, they even have pushpa samadhi. We have to keep the flowers that was put on the bodies, we keep them as samadhis. So whatever touches their body becomes eternal, and their presence is always there. So when you keep the body and we have samadhi of Srila Prabhupada, and it's there eternally, it will be there. So we don't burn it, it's a, how to say, it's a tattva. We can say that yes, this body is not burnt, and the acharya is eternally living. So we do it as a thing that, although the body may, you know, I don't know, of course, materially and according to science, the body should dismantle into the thing. But the understanding is, Acharya is ever living, eternally, and he gives us, and we feel that his presence is there. It's more subtle than gross. Yes, Guru.
I heard Prabhuji that body should not be donated for the executions. Is it right?
Execution in the sense for medical college
so
yes.
that they can use for
yes.
teaching the students.
Yes.
And according to the Vedic civilization, it should
yes.
not be given as a donation for the education purpose.
Yes.
Is it right?
Yes, 100% should not give this.
So
very
what is the philosophy behind
the philosophy?
Body?
See, the body, the soul is always the, if it is not a realized soul, the soul is always attached to the body. You know, that is why the verse is, we are always attached. So the soul leaves the body. One thing, it may want to come back to this body, or if it hovers around, it may again be attached to its body. And second thing, it's a dead thing. Keeping in a, you know, keeping in a, of course, for medical purpose, yes, they have to do, they have a cadaver, they have to do this thing. But on a personal point, it is not very spiritual. It is mainly because the soul may go around and not enter back, something like this.
So what is the reason not to kill, according to Vedic?
That's why the soul may want to come back into this body.
Yeah, but anyhow, it is once it is a burned or buried or
yes.
throw away.
Yes.
So the people have a tendency to let us utilize that body, or donate the eye.
Yes,
but actually according to the Vedic system, we should not do it because particular reason I am not sure. Radha can prove. Can. So, I mean, I'm not sure why. Main thing, one thing, the soul is that we say is because it comes back. But why you couldn't donate the eye and body? Because see, actually, this is a temple. Body is a temple. And so we have to consider it. Because the soul has come into this body. There is a nice thing in Tamil, Thirumular. Thirumular is one of the sayings in Tamil. There he expresses the body as a temple, you know, what is, this is eye is the entrance of the temple, this is cobra. He gives a beautiful analogy of the body compared to the temple. Of course, it's a little Mayavad, but he says how the body should be maintained. Because we are Paramatma in the heart, we are Jiva in the heart. So if you pluck off the eye, giving off the eye, it doesn't actually, on the spiritual perception, it looks not very, you know, it's a little gora, you know, it doesn't look very same. This is the reason that, you know, we don't do it. Every spiritual understanding is scientific and maybe further more reasons there. But as of now, I understand this is the reason that, you know, it's a temple. We should have respect for the body. We should not treat it that way.
Thank you, Master.
Yes, Prabhu. All right,
go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Doctor, I just wanted to verify what you said regarding the Krishna conscious understanding. Of a patient who is basically brain dead, but it still has cardiac output, and he is on an assistive machine. So the Krishna conscious understanding is that the plug should not be pulled, that the living entity inside that body should live out its duration, regardless of what the brain waves register. Is that correct?
Yes.
You
see, medically, when we say brain dead, means the person is dead. Which is what some medical understanding is, once brain is dead, then you are just a vegetable, you are living, and you can now turn off the ventilator, you give the option to the attendance patients. But according to spiritually, as far as the soul is there, the jiva is still present, and the body is still alive. So this is the two contradictions materially. So of course we should not artificially switch it off. It should take its time, because certainly a jiva has a particular period of time to be engaged in this. That is designed already by Brahma, already by the Kala, by time. It is very purely scientific. And who am I to kill? It's like a death or a suicide or a murder. Right? So we don't have to commit that. So spiritually, yes, definitely you should not do that. It is not appropriate.
Yes. Only when I come to India do I see people dying. Unfortunately, I live in America where everything is swept, hush-tush, hidden. Death is hidden in America, even though America is a place of preeminent death of all types of living entities. Still, you don't see, hear, or actually see the physical presence of a body without a soul. A while ago, today, I witnessed Richard Bhasi's going to the funeral procession of a resident, which has passed on. So every time I come to India, I see the difference between life and death, and it's like a realization. But unfortunately, in the country I live in America, everything is hush hush, hidden, cleaned up, not exposed to the public.
Yes, it's very nice. I mean, actually, it's a big philosophy that you have told me. Because people are fear of death, they don't want to die, and when they see somebody, it's completely true. You know. Two different understandings. They don't want to see death because, again, the auspicious philosophy, they see that, okay, I don't see death and I will not die. And if I see death, then I get a fear. I may also die and I can't enjoy. And there will be so much disturbance. I don't want to be disturbed. The Western philosophy is enjoy, be merry. Much you can. But in India, the Vedic philosophy is different. From the very beginning, we remember death. Especially if you see Saivites, they appear vibhuti, you know, this holy ash. This is to remind that one day they will become ashes. They don't know now, they just appear, apply. But actually it is to remind them that you will become one day ash. So this philosophy is ingrained in our
traditional system of Indian culture. Day to day, everything we do is to remember God, to bring God in life, and to remember death. And so death is there. What is death? Then we know what is death. Then we have to prepare ourselves. How to prepare is only through God consciousness. That's why they take the body. See, this man is dead. He has lived his life all like this. Now see, he's dead. He's no more. So he may be a rich man. He may be a millionaire. So people say, oh, yes, one day I will also become. It may not sink and they may again go back. But at least do have a ingrained, you know, it ingrains in our heart. So yes, it's very true. This is the Western and Eastern understanding. And thank you very much. Thanks. Okay. Prabhu, I think he's waiting for a long time. Please, last question.
When you're preaching to an atheist, a lot of them, they give the example that, you know, God doesn't exist. And ultimately, it depends on Krishna, of individual to surrender to God. But sometimes when I'm just reading books, preaching to people, how can, even on the ninth offense is to preach the faith is, but sometimes I'm preaching, and what's the best thing to convert this person or get this person to realize that God is a person or God is Allah? A lot of people, they say, no, God doesn't exist. And how do you get even if you're talking about scientists, they don't believe in God. Ultimately, it comes down to Krishna and the individual. How can you preach to somebody to try to get them to understand what God is alive?
Yes. Actually, saying, Prabhu, with my strength, with my energy, I may not have to do this. Actually, because of Prabhupada's mercy, yes, we are going outside and fearlessly preaching because the empowerment of Prabhupada. But this is a great job. It's not possible actually to even convince one person. Because they are so much in the mode of ignorance and enjoyment that we are not able to understand. That's why Prabhupada said, you read my books and give my books. Prabhupada said a person just touches the book, it will be valued. Read one verse, you know, it's miraculous book. Prabhupada is a miracle. If these books are miracle, you know, medicines, you just put the book in his hand, you take it back, doesn't matter. One day, it may work, magically. Don't worry, because I cannot make devotees. It's Krishna can make devotees. I am not to make any devotee. Because I was, I'm working in Gurukula. Once I asked His Holiness, what is the name? I am working in Bhaktivinoda Gurukula, Vrindavan. So I was asked one day to Vasudeva Maharaj, who I was giving some treatment. So I told him that in Gurukula, you know, we are putting some heart and soul and we are trying, but not everybody can become devotees. He said, you don't make devotees, you cannot make devotees. Uh-huh. You are giving them the seed. Whether they become devotee or devotee, that is up to Krishna and Prabhupada. You don't worry about that, you just give them the platform that you are doing it. So exactly like that, you don't worry, you give the book, let him touch the book, you're doing a great job. Maybe Mataji has any questions? Yeah, no, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.